Welcome to the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast, the nationally recognized preferred provider for asset protection and tax planning in the nation. This show is for real estate investors looking to protect their assets, save on taxes, and build their wealth with Clint Coons. Clint is an attorney, author, avid real estate investor, and featured instructor at Anderson's tax and asset protection events held throughout the country. Enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, it's Clint Coons here with Anderson Business Advisors. And on this podcast, we have some great information for you from a tax standpoint. Because when you're investing in real estate, what is one of the major reasons why we want to get started? It's tax savings. There are those individuals out there that understand how to capitalize on tax savings and those that do not. And most people that I run into when it comes to tax and asset protection planning, their local guys just doesn't get it. And that's why many of you have come to Anderson, because we're here to help you out to make sure that your plans are set up the right way. So if a lawsuit develops, that your assets are going to be protected. But the other side of that coin, as you've heard me say many times, is you want to make sure that you're reducing your taxes to the greatest extent as possible. Because real estate is a tremendous tax deduction force. It's a tax shelter, actually. And you can make a little bit of money, or you can make a lot of money from your tax savings if you know who to associate with and know what to look for. And so many people do not understand what it takes to look when it comes to real estate, what they should be looking at to find these deductions. And so my guest today that I have on the podcast, this individual, I met him at an event that we were both speaking at, and we sat down, we started talking about the benefits for real estate investors, especially people who have residential real estate and what they can do with it. And Brett really opened my eyes up to what the possibilities are when you own rental real estate, because possibly like many of you, I always thought that the deduction, that savings that we're going to be talking about was only available or truly could only be appreciated by people who had commercial real estate. I have commercial real estate and I've taken advantage of what we're going to be sharing with you, but I haven't done it on the residential side. And it wasn't until we sat down, we had a discussion that the light bulb went off and I realized, hey, this is information. This is powerful. This can save people tens of thousands of dollars a year if we can only get them the information to show them how to take advantage of that. So what I thought would be great is that I would bring on Brett Hansen onto the call today and onto the podcast, and we would talk to you about what this tax saving tool is and how you can take advantage of it. So with that, let me introduce Brett. Brett, how are you doing?
Clint, thanks for having me. Doing great.
Great. I'm glad you're on. So why don't you tell everyone a little bit about yourself and what it is that you do?
Sure. My name is Brett Hansen with the firm Cost Segregation Authority. We work with Anderson quite a bit. And what we do is a tax strategy called cost segregation. It's kind of a mouthful. There is no real elevator pitch for it. You know, you've got to understand a little bit about what we're doing. That's what we're going to talk about. But essentially, it's accelerated depreciation on your rental real estate. And it applies to anything as small as a residential rental home to my favorite, doing resorts in Hawaii, if you have any of those. So
wow. So that's important. I mean, most people are aware of the fact that when you buy property, you can depreciate it over a period of time. So if you buy a house for, say, $100,000, you're going to be depreciating that over how long?
27 and a half years for residential. And that's okay. Exactly the point. You touched on that in the introduction, where real estate investing is largely about the depreciation. I mean, you're going to get some appreciation, you get the rents, and there's some other benefits to real estate investing. But one of the greatest aspects is the depreciation as a non-cash expense against income. So what we do is we accelerate that depreciation so that you don't pay tax before you have to. It allows you to increase your expenses and lower your net taxable income.
So it puts more money into your pocket today by doing that. The benefit, of course, in owning real estate, let me put it in real numbers. Let's say that I made $10,000 in rental income this year after all expenses before depreciation, and I had $3,000 in depreciation, then how much would I have in taxable income in that scenario?
Right. So you'd have $7,000 taxable income, correct?
Correct.
The numbers you're looking at? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's if you have more depreciation to add on to it, you're going to have less taxable income. And then you'll pay a lot less tax to the IRS and you save that money. And hopefully with the proper guidance, you're using that savings to then increase your portfolio, invest in things that will get a return on that investment.
And see, a lot of times people, when they hear that and they say, well, that's a deduction, they think that's money that they're spending. And really, it's not. It's just reducing the taxable income or the amount of income that they're putting in their pocket that they have to pay tax on. So, right. Yeah, like we were talking about, let's say you could get someone $10,000 in depreciation. So if they made $10,000 in income and they had $10,000 in depreciation expense, then right. zero tax,
zero.
$10K in the pocket.
Wow. Exactly.
All right. So is this a tax loophole? Is this something that's only available to rich people or guys that want to go into the room and, you know, figure out some creative strategy and work way over the line? Or is this a pretty, you know, standard strategy?
Right. And okay, so I'll go back and explain a little bit what we're doing. But to answer your question, it's not a loophole. It's simply smart tax planning. You know, the IRS isn't really good at going and explaining how to take advantage of codes in certain situations, but it's very simple. It's even in the audit guides about you should maximize your depreciation deduction so you can reduce your tax burden. There's a quote we could share sometime. But essentially what we're doing is we're going into the rental properties, anywhere from, you know, your residential rental to an office building, and we're reclassifying the assets within that property from its standard straight line long-term depreciation schedule, either 39 years for an office or commercial building or 27 and a half years for a residential property. And we're identifying components of those properties that lawfully and legally can be direct depreciated much, much quicker, usually 5 years, and the land improvements are on a 15-year schedule. So you can imagine if you have, you know, say $1 million property and $100,000 property, and we reclassify 25 to 30%, that amount of dollars gets put onto the schedule over 5 years or whatever its asset type may be. So your deduction is a lot larger. That reduces effectively your taxable income. And then you have that money saved in your pocket before you have to pay that tax. Then you use that for further investment or increasing your cash flow.
Okay. So you're going in and you're analyzing the property then. Is that what has to be done in order to generate this?
Correct. It's got to be done with engineering experience, cost accounting experience. You know, we have engineers in-house that go and visit every property, take measurements. And just for example, things like cabinetry, carpeting, certain flooring, certain wall coverings, all these assets should be depreciated over 5 years. And that's a substantial difference over 27 and a half years. So we'll go and engineer and calculate the square footage of your flooring or the linear footage of your cabinetry. We'll count how many trees and bushes you have in the yard of these rental properties. And including, you know, auxiliary plumbing, auxiliary electrical, things like that, things you wouldn't otherwise think that aren't part of the structure of the asset, but should be depreciated. They're kind of specialty stuff. So they should be depreciated at their own schedule, 5 years or whatever it may be.
Well, so, all right. So let's take the cabinetry, for example. Say I have a house that's valued at $70,000 and it's a 2,200 square foot home. How do you determine how much cabinetry I have in that house? Do you actually have to go in, or is there just a table that you work off of?
No, we go in, we measure it, we take pictures, we analyze the property. You all have what you paid for that property. And actually, that reminds me of a point. Cost segregation is really cool in the fact that I can go back and do a study and reclassify the assets of that component of that house or whatever as of the date you purchased it. Meaning, let's say you bought it 3 or 4 years ago, this $70,000 home or $100,000 home, and you know, you just have a settlement statement. You know, you don't know what you paid for cabinetry. What we do is we apply a cost factor to that cabinetry as of the date of purchase. And what the IRS allows us to do is catch up that depreciation from the time you bought it to the time we file a tax return, to your next tax return, without an amended return. Same thing for cabinetry or carpeting or auxiliary plumbing or electrical, for landscaping, things like that.
Okay, so let's nail that one down because I heard something there that I think is really important. Let's assume that I bought a house 3 years ago. And stick with the $70,000 example. So I bought this house for $70,000. Is what you're telling me then that you could go in, take a look at that, look at the assets inside of the house, you know, the cabinetry and the rugs and all that stuff and the shrubbery, as you stated, and say, all right, well, for 3 years, you weren't capitalizing on this. So you can go in and then bring all those 3 years forward into this taxable year?
That's correct. On the very next tax return, you'll do what's called a Section 481A adjustment.
Okay.
Tax law, you know, who cares about what code it is, right?
Yeah.
That's what it's called. And it uses a special form that allows you to say, hey, IRS, I'm going to change my accounting method. I don't want to do it straight long-term way. I want to do it an accelerated way. They say, okay, it's an automatic consent procedure. And I will dump that whole, all those 3 years of depreciation that you missed on the next return. And 70,000 is probably a light property. We like to look at 100,000 or more. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you've had even $100,000 property for 3 years, that's where these lower cost properties are effective with cost segregation because of that catch-up component I just described.
So if you just bought a property today and it was $65,000, you're not going to see as great as deduction as you would if you had it for 3 or 4 years.
It's a tricky question.
Oh, okay.
Because the two tax laws, which we might get into in a minute, will make a difference on this year's purchases. But let's say the new tax laws weren't in place yet and the bonus depreciation, which we'll talk about in a second, wasn't effective. Then, yeah, you wouldn't see the immediate difference. You would over the first 5 years. And it's relative to what the fee of the study would cost, which we're relative. We like to see a large return on that fee. We want it to be a no-brainer, even as much as low as 6 to 8x return on the fee. And as the price of that asset goes up, it's a lot easier to do that. Sure, we'll talk about that bonus depreciation change in just a second.
Okay, so then how about if I had 10 properties?
Sure.
I mean, you just do all, even can you better. Aggregate them together? Even better.
Absolutely. So the better. Even better. The more the better, and there's no reason, really there is no reason, you shouldn't look at each one of them and get an analysis done at no cost to determine what your benefit is going to be. If 10, there might be some cheaper $50,000, $60,000 ones that don't really make sense relative to the fee. And you're like, no, it's fine. We're going to depreciate this pretty quick anyway. It's not very expensive. But let's do the other 8 because that's a big bang for my buck or because that's giving you enough deductions to reduce your income to zero.
So when you make that election that you were talking about, that's on a per property basis. So I don't have to treat all my properties with that election. I can choose which ones I want to use it for and which ones I don't.
It is on a per property or at least on a per entity basis.
Okay, per entity. That
makes sense. So if you've owned that LLC and it has 6 homes and most people have different LLCs per home, depends on how you've structured that. And you can probably be best advised for that. But yeah, it's per entity basis.
All right. So planning wise here, if I was an investor and I made the mistake, as I'm going to put it, and I put 8 homes in one LLC, not the best asset protection. But if we're going to run this study, it might be good to pull out those newer properties that I purchased, the $55,000, $60,000 homes, drop them in a separate LLC, create a new one for them, and then do the analysis just on that one LLC because we have to make the election change for that company.
Yeah, I mean, you could do that. Or maybe we just make it so that we do all the properties within the LLC, you just do them all. I mean, even if you do the change for the LLC, you don't have to do a cost segregation on all the homes within that.
Got it.
The depreciation will just change per asset. And that depreciation deduction will flow through to the LLC's tax return. And then it may or may not pass through to the end of the owner itself.
Wow.
So you don't really have to shift them around to different LLCs. You can just pick what changes you want to do, what studies you want to do.
If you are a real estate investor, trader, or business owner who wants to lower your taxes, protect your assets, and build future wealth, then you need to attend the next 3-day tax and asset protection event sponsored by Anderson Business Advisors. At the event, podcast hosts Clint Coons, Toby Mathis, and Michael Bowman will discuss the art of building generational wealth, ninja equity stripping strategies to discourage lawsuits, the reason to forget LLCs for real estate, tax strategies to stay out of the IRS crosshairs, avoid the joint venture chamber of horrors, and much more. The Anderson Advisors Tax and Asset Protection event is held monthly throughout the country and via live stream. Join us for the next 3-day tax and asset protection event and network with other investors and business owners while learning strategies to build your wealth and help you sleep better at night with a solid peace of mind knowing you have prepared for anything. Learn about the next event dates and locations by going to AndersonAP.com and register today. That's AndersonAP.com to register. AndersonAP.com.
Okay, so what we're talking about here is, you know, creating this depreciation deduction that you can take onto your tax return. And, you know, you're talking about if you have a 3 or 4 or 5 year old property there, you can go back and pull all that forward. So is there a time when that no longer makes sense? You know, the cutoff should be if I've owned it for 10 years, it doesn't make sense, or 15 years.
Yeah. And I've done successful studies this year back to 1997.
Oh, wow.
It's a hard number to remember. But yeah, I mean, it goes back to at least 20 years. After that, it's usually fully depreciated already. You know, we're just accelerating that depreciation. So after 20, 22 years, there's not a lot of benefit left because you've already fully depreciated that asset.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to see everything over $70,000 since 1997. And if you have a depreciation schedule or a list of properties of assets you've owned that are rental properties you've had since that date, then let's take a look at it and see if we can't reduce your taxes.
Okay, so in years past, you know, how long have you been doing this?
Myself, 4 years. The company's been around for 12 years. You know, cost segregation has been largely started in the early 2000s, 2003, 2002. Like you said at the beginning, it started out with casinos and hospitals only. Multi-million-dollar properties could afford the fees. We've cut that down to, I mean, you're talking residential rental homes at $100,000 can really benefit from the savings. And that impact is huge for a small investor that has maybe 6 homes, saving 10, 20 grand in taxes in a year. That helps.
That's That's not small change. So what happens to the investor who, you know, they'll go to their local CPA and they'll tell them, hey, I heard about this strategy where we can accelerate the depreciation and put $20,000 back in my pocket this year. And the CPA says, you can't do that because it's residential real estate. And I'm sure that's come up before. I mean, how do you address that?
You're talking about a situation where the CPA doesn't quite understand the value of cost set, or they just think it's only for a super million-dollar property. We would love to work with that CPA. We would have to educate them on the value of that. There's no secrets to what we're doing. It's all transparent. And oftentimes a CPA, there's an ego thing there or whatever. They don't, you know, they don't want to lose the client, or they're protecting you know, their butt over their advice. I get that. Maybe they need a second opinion.
Yeah. I found that a lot of times if they're not up on it, they're going to be down on it. And that becomes
an issue.
Because
it might make them look bad. Right.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, oh, you mean I could have been saving this for the last 4 years?
That's true.
Yeah.
Most CPA, the good ones are like, oh, thank you for sharing this. We've learned about it. We've heard about it, but we didn't know how to do it. And that touches on a point like, you know, all the big four firms have their own cost division. We work with all CPA firms across the country. We want to be their service provider for this. This is all we do is cost segregation. And there's no reason for a mid-tier firm to open up a branch of cost seg just for their clients with all the expenses associated with that. We will do it for you. We work hand in hand with a CPA, such as your firm here itself, and make sure that they're getting the service they need.
You ever had one of your returns audited?
We have.
Yeah. How'd that work out?
Well, and the returns, you say the studies, right?
Yeah, the studies.
Back to the loophole question, we've done thousands and thousands of studies across the country. And we've been involved, I think, to date in 9 audits over the last 10 years. And none of those were because of the cost segregation study itself. It was for another issue with the tax return. And the agent will say, oh, there's accelerated depreciation in return. We'd like to see how you did it. Who did you use? What did you do? Did you just throw a dart and guess what percentage of cost was carpet? If you do that, you're in trouble. But if you have a qualified study that meets the IRS guidelines that our company provides, then we've never had any changes. You're pretty safe. And so we will support that. If anything gets audited, there's no cost to help us support our reports. And it's very little risk as long as you're doing these studies correctly with the guidelines.
Yeah, see, that's so important because I've run into people before. They say, oh, my CPA is doing a cost seg for me. And I'll ask them, I go, well, how they're doing it? And they've told them this, that they have software that figures it out. And I'm just shocked. I mean, that's just setting yourself up for an audit. And I know from firsthand experience, a few years ago. Oh, yeah, you're right. You're saving $200. Until you're told you got to pay interest and penalties on what you did because you didn't do it right. We had this LLC. This person passed away. Actually, it was a limited partnership, and she passed away. And it's worth several million dollars, and we wanted to get a discount valuation on the LP. And so I hired someone to do an analysis of the limited partnership to determine what the value of these units would be, because it would save them about $375,000 in taxes, estate taxes. Now, when I presented this to the individual, they said, well, how much is it? I said, it's $35,000. And they just about lost it. And I said, yeah, but look how much money I'm going to save you. Now, thankfully, they followed my advice, and we hired this individual to come in, analyze the limited partnership and come up with their discount valuation. And they had a study that they used to support it. And the study was approximately 60 pages in length.
Sure.
Now, that return got audited. And to your point, and I want the listeners to understand this as well, is that when it was audited, all I had to do was send over that study that was done on the LP to support the discount valuations, and they dismissed it. And that's why, you know, software does not do that. And so people have to realize, you know, you're paying for a service that's going to provide for you a tremendous tax benefit going forwards. And so that's why you got to use someone that understands what it is we're doing here.
That's correct. And, I mean, we've got stories like that too. And usually they're dismissed with just handing over a properly done study. You know, we've got one that went to an agent and he wanted to use a different case law or different case precedent for some of our deductions. And so we said, okay. And it increased the deduction by $500,000.
Oh, isn't that great?
So he walked right out. He's like, no, we're good. So if you're doing it right, and we will back it up, full support, we've been around forever, we'll be there.
All right. So we all know there's been some changes this year in the tax law.
Thank you. Yeah.
So tell everyone about what they can do, especially this year, and why it's so important they actually take advantage of this.
Well, we teased about it a couple of minutes ago, and there were several changes to the tax code that have impacted cost segregation. There's one in particular that I need to address as ground level as I possibly can. And that's something called bonus depreciation. So bonus depreciation has been around since 2001, actually. It's a stimulus idea. It was designed to help people invest in equipment. And what it did is allowed you to take a certain percentage of depreciation in the first year. But it had to be new construction or had to be a new asset. And then it had to be an asset life under 20 years. So all of a sudden, we're doing cost segregation studies, and we're reclassifying a bunch of assets from 27 or 39 down to 5, 7, or 15 life. So also they qualify for bonus. That's bonus depreciation. Well, in the past and up until, you know, a long time ago, 2017, that was 50%. There's two significant changes that happened with the new tax law. Number one, it no longer has to be new. This is huge because now anything anybody is purchasing now qualifies for what's called that bonus depreciation. Now, if they get a cost seg study done, we're identifying an average of 25 to 30% of that cost as an asset life under 20 years. And I don't know, Clint, do you know what that new bonus percentage is?
100%.
It's 100%.
I know.
Meaning everything we identify through a study is now expensed in year one.
Wow.
So if you take before you use a $100,000 property, which I don't know if many exist anymore, and we reclassify 30% of that, so $330,000, you bought something for $100,000, your deduction from that asset is $30,000. Yeah. Multiply that by your tax bracket, your tax rate, and that's your true savings on the asset that you just bought.
Yeah, so potentially.
Now, that includes land, of course, but yeah.
So if you're in a 30% tax bracket, then that's close to $10,000 is what you're
getting. $10,000 off the price.
Yeah.
Just right off the top, just by buying it. I am encouraging, I'm getting out as much as I can to CPAs during this tax planning phase over the next 2 or 3 months. Get something closed up by the end of the year. Go buy, if you have, you see, foresee a big tax bill coming up for 2018, go buy yourself a rental home, you know, and relative to your ability to use the deductions. And then, you know, with your tax advisor, work together with that and say, yeah, you need some deductions. Go buy some real estate.
Okay. So let's assume that I have more deductions than I do income.
Sure.
So what do I do with that?
It all carries forward. It creates a passive loss that will carry forward indefinitely, and you can use it up for as long as, that's another tax code change. It used to be 20 years. Now you can use it for as long as you need it.
Okay. Now this 100% bonus depreciation, though, I think we should be a little more clear on that.
Sure.
That's only available for 2018, correct?
Incorrect.
Oh.
That goes through the end of 2022.
Oh, great.
Assuming nothing changes by then, which,
all right,
who knows? A lot of my CPAs are like, let's just get all the deductions we can. Never know what's going to change. For example, that was supposed to be phased out at the end of next year. Bonus depreciation was going away in 2019 until the tax law came in. And now bonus depreciation has changed to affect new existing properties and new properties alike. It's 100% bonus, 100% expense, and it goes to the end of 2022. After which, for the next 4 years, it'll phase out 20%. So 80, 60, 40, 20. It's supposed to sunset at the end of 2027. I can't even think that far ahead. I mean, the tax laws, things have changed in the political.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, we're just like, get the deductions. If you can't use it all, get those losses built up. You know, if you have the losses built up, then certain capital gains will trigger the use of those losses, certain sales of properties. There's a lot of more strategies that I'm sure your firm can advise on with your clients that help you. Yeah, let's maximize these tax benefits.
Yeah, absolutely. So then when they're looking at doing this, so say I wanted to take advantage of it for 2018, do I have to have all the studies done for 2018 or can I start the process? And as long as it's done before I do the tax return, does that work?
That's correct. We need about 30 days, unless it's peak season, you know, end of tax year, like last September, October, 30 to 40 days to complete a study. But as long as you purchase the asset by the end of the year, I have till maybe March to finish the study. And as a CPA would like it early April for sure to have them a few days to input that deduction to their tax return.
So if I was doing my return in October because I filed an extension, then I could actually go all the way until October 15th.
Yeah. I mean, give us some time to get it to the CPA a little bit before the 15th.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
They don't want to throw a schedule right on the date taxes are due. Not that I didn't do that 12 times a few Mondays ago, but it will go by the date you purchase the asset. And then we have up until the next tax deadline to get you the information.
Wow. So, I mean, that's going to be a huge tax savings for people, you know, on top of the tax cuts that came in this year. If you've got rental real estate to take advantage of this bonus depreciation with a cost seg, I mean, I know a lot of our clients may be able to put themselves in a zero income situation. Yeah.
Good tax savings. You got to use these to and then further your portfolio, build your wealth from it, invest it in the market, or maybe don't go buy a boat, but. Or go buy a boat. I don't care. You know, good memories, right?
Fast car, yeah. So anything else about this topic that they need to know?
I think the best way is like the next steps in terms of what do I need to analyze a property and make sure it fits for you. And I only need really 2.5 things, maybe 3 things. I just need the total cost you paid for it, the year you purchased it. And if you have an address, that'd be fantastic to shoot it over by email. I'd like to look at the asset, kind of see what's involved, how big it is, things like that. We will come back to you usually within a day on the projected benefit and its associated cost. And the costs are low. I mean, from a single family rental, I'll just tell you, you're talking less than $2,000, depending on the size, its location. The average for a commercial building, right around 10, maybe 8 or 9. They're way worth it. And that goes up from there. But we like to see a large return on investment for that fee.
Wow. No, that's great. So if somebody wanted to move forwards and get a cost seg done on their rental real estate, how would they go about contacting you?
Well, we have a website, costsegauthority.com. We have an 800 number, 800-940-3115. And you can call me directly on my cell, 801-884-8358. If that helps. Yeah, just call us, email us. We pride ourselves on service. We work well with Anderson and just really enjoy working with people and saving them tax dollars.
Great. Well, I hope a lot of the people that are listening to this or watching on my YouTube channel definitely take advantage of this and reach out to you because, I mean, if we can put an extra dollar in our pocket, that's just another dollar that we can take and use to pay your attorney. No, just joking. To go out and invest with and buy more real estate. And so, you know, you wonder why, how many people are able to accumulate so much in property. And a lot of it comes down to how they do it, having the education and those individuals, you know, that they have access to this knowledge. And what we're doing now is we're giving people access to the same things the very wealthy people are doing to lower their taxes. And so I think that's
you touched on it. And this, as you close up, I mean, you wonder why all these political figures don't have large, seemingly large tax bills. I mean, they're large, but not relative to their estate because they're using concepts like cost segregation.
Yeah. And I think you're criticized for it.
Yeah.
Right.
Like we just know, and that's it. You know, it is, you know, ignorance can hurt you sometimes.
Correct.
So learning about this, using, employing these strategies will help build wealth and grow your portfolio and make some more money.
Great. Well, hey, thanks for taking the time with me today to go over this information. I know we're going to get a lot of people that are going to be reaching out to you. And with that, thanks for coming on.
No, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Show notes for links to everything mentioned in this episode can be found on our website at andersonadvisors.com/podcast. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast. And if you are already a subscriber, please provide us a review of what you thought of this episode.